for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground. All right, everybody, welcome back. We are the Pleb Underground YouTube show. Joining us today, we've got a very special guest from Team Satoshi. We've got Vitus Zeller, and he's going to talk to us about the awesome bike competition that that he did in the spirit of Bitcoin. But first, we are going to go over to, of course, you know the deal, right? We've got Walton over here as well. Walton, Do we have anything today? A rap, a rhyme, something?
I mean, this week, despite government policy, the Bank of England is trying to save the pound. You're back. Another episode. We've got Fetus, Phil. I'm Walton. This is Pleb Underground.
I love it. He comes up with them right on the spot. Okay, but look, before we take Vitus through the hopium, the shitcoin corner, the numbers... Well, you know what? We're going to go take a look at the numbers.
The numbers, of course, brought to us by timechainstats.com. That's timechainstats.com.
Our boy Ant. That's right. Okay, here we go. Let's go take a look at the numbers. At the time of this recording, the block height is 756,418. The Bitcoin price, 19,672. The total public Lightning capacity, 4,912.65. Moscow time, 5085. And the chain rewrite days, 806. So we've got the numbers. It's uneventful. Walton, before we start taking a look at some fun stories, you got anything?
Yeah, I'll do another number. Apparently, and this is for TC because I know he has this fetish, but StackChain seems to be doing very well. Mr. Corey spent $6,000 on a Bitcoin the other day, picking up three consecutive blocks. StackChain apparently now has bought over 1,000 Bitcoin by someone's calculation. I don't know if that's true. I've not yet verified, but apparently the plebs are trying to act as a whale, even if like it's basically an NFT chain. Anyway,
I really don't know much about the Stack chain. I see a lot of stuff on Twitter. It looks interesting, and I see a lot of memeing going on, so I know that that's a good thing because that's going to bring about some entertainment, but otherwise, I really know nothing. But at some point, I think we should bring somebody on that from the Stack chain to explain to us the Stack chain.
Yeah, maybe we'll get TC to come talk about it.
Okay, cool. Vitus, are you aware at all of the Stack chain? Have you seen? I mean, don't get me wrong. We are Twitter degenerates, so all we do is sit on Twitter. So, yeah, you could let us know. If you haven't heard about it, that's perfectly fine.
No. Haven't heard about it.
It's only us.
So basically, some guy started by buying $5 of Bitcoin, and then the next person bought $6 of Bitcoin, and then $7 of Bitcoin, and they keep posting the images. But to me, the images, they're not verifiable, and so therefore StackChain is a shitcoin, even though it is a good spirit, and it's actually good for Bitcoin. So maybe shitcoins can be good for Bitcoin if they're called StackChain.
I think I might have seen Corey post 1999 or something. Yeah, is that related to that?
He spent six grand because he bought 1999, 2000, and 2001 all in one after another.
Nice.
Very clever.
But it's not very pleb anymore, though. Like, how many plebs can drop $6,000 on Bitcoin, like, on an off chance?
Yeah, exactly, right? Okay. Let's take a look at some numbers ridiculousness. Here we go. All right, guys. They're still trying to convince us. We're the mainstream media is just absolutely awful. Okay, so here we go. This is a tweet from @Ezra.
It's a very useful tool, though, Phil. It's a very useful tool for gaslighting the population, as we're seeing once again.
Totally agreed. So here we go. Amazon, which owns the Washington Post, has some good news for you. Nice. 7 ways a recession could be good for you financially. Hey, a recession isn't all bad news. Here's 7 silver linings. Okay, we're not even going to waste our time going into the ridiculous mental gymnastics that they're going to take us through. But the whole point of showing everybody that was the headline. And it's exactly what you said, Walton. It's a gaslighting headline. Okay. I don't see, I understand how there are certain businesses that benefit from the recession. So I remember that this is the bullshit that they tried to sell us. Okay. Back in 2008. Okay. The businesses that are going to boom are going to be like the dollar stores. Okay. So if you own a dollar store or you own shares of a dollar store, then you may do very well because people have less money and they think that they're going to go and save money by shopping at the dollar store. Another thing that does really well is scrap metal, junkyards, recyclers. What do they call that? Also the consignment stores. It's like, that's not a silver lining. That's telling you that people don't have a choice but to go, and not that there's anything wrong with that. Okay. If you want to go and buy used clothes, that's your business. Everybody's entitled to do whatever they want to do. But on average, people are doing that either as a fashion statement or because they have no choice, you know? So I just, you're not going to convince me that a recession is good. And I think that this is just absolute nonsense and gaslighting. Well, first we'll go to Vitas before we go to Walton. Vitas, what are your thoughts on this headline?
I mean, recession might be good for some people, I guess, but not the average Joe, I guess. So there's always entrepreneurs in a recession that profit from that. But yeah, no, I don't think this is can be a valid headline. Yeah.
Would you say would you say that the bicyclers, would you say that that's recession proof, right? Because you don't have to save on gas, you know, you could save on gas. You could just ride your bike everywhere. So would you say that that's a kind of like recession win, right? More people are biking.
I mean, especially maybe people who don't bike yet, they might find it useful to go biking because it saves some money and they could stack some health and strengths.
But it's harder to guard
the
property rights. It's hard to guard property rights of bicycles in comparison to, say, motor vehicles, simply because they're so light and can be, you know, cut through or taken and carried off. Nonetheless, yeah, recession will mean lower prices. So it depends. If you are actually providing real value in the world and selling that value rather than just being some small cog in a large machine, you probably will be okay. But it's, you know, there's weird kind of structural things that happen. You know, there's going to be blood on the streets. You know, the world is not headed in a good direction. But this gaslighting has been the latest part of a series, right? They started with, it's transitory.
That's right. It's transitory. And you know what? That is a perfect pivot onto our next article, right? Because
talking
guess
of
what?
Pivoting, the Bank of England's already pivoted.
You know what's coming.
We've been talking about this. It's that like that Austin Powers meme where he's stuck in the corridor going back to the forwards. This is going to be central bank policy over the next 5-10 years globally to bounce between fighting inflation and fighting recession.
So the recession is, you know, could be good for you, as we just saw. But not only that, at the same time, because they're right mentally preparing everybody for the world of the revolution of lowered expectations. OK, here we go. CoinDesk, this is a CoinDesk article. Bitcoin recovers some losses after Bank of England's bond market intervention has the crypto community betting on an eventual Fed pivot. That's right. Somehow Bitcoin just got tied to the Bank of England's mad dash at trying to save itself, essentially emptying one pocket to fill another pocket. So Bitcoin recovered from daily lows after the Bank of England said it will take steps to address the liquidity crunch in the government bond market. Don't get me wrong, but that, you know, I understand that people see the price action and they think that it's related, but Bitcoin doesn't give a shit about the Bank of England. This is just people and emotions moving the market. Okay. Anyways, the Bank of England on Wednesday morning said it will begin to buy long dated gilts in unlimited. There we go. The recession is good for you. we are going to do everything we can to keep this thing from falling apart. Okay, so long-dated gilts in unlimited quantity starting on Wednesday to stabilize the UK's bond market. Okay, look, I am not on the other side of the pond, so I'm going to start first with Walton. Walton, I mean, this just sounds no different than the U.S. government. It sounds no different than Argentinian government. It just sounds no different than multiple governments around the world who essentially have to keep their currency and their country from financial collapse. So
that's it. So essentially what we have, and I'm just going to abstract the idea because it's the same everywhere, right? We have step one. Some people get elected by promising various things that they may or may not deliver on. But essentially these are people, you know, with high political quotients, manipulate people, say whatever to get into power, or to stay in power. These people then do make promises and do start spending money, but it's not money that they're taking in via tax receipts. It's far more than that. And so what happens is, to remove accountability from these individuals, the central bank of that country buys the sovereign debt from the government, essentially printing new money to do so. And this is kind of, you know, I think the biggest problem in society today is this complete lack of accountability in the public political sphere, and how that permeates, you know, through society. Fiat, I think, removes or rather delays, shall we say, accountability. I think one great thing about Bitcoin is that we have that accountability. We have that verifiable accountability for all to see. You know, anyone can run a node.
Very good point. And actually, before we go to Vitas to get his thoughts, before we move on to the shitcoin corner, it always makes me think of the thought of the saying, robbing Peter to pay Paul. But in this case, I think we're just robbing Peter and to pay Peter. I don't think there is Paul. I don't even think Paul exists. So anyways, Vitas, what are you?
Interestingly, briefly, Peter means the rock, right? And what do we need to do with these people? They need to be stoned, of course. So Ahmed.
You're terrible. Now we have to pull out the Get the Stones meme. Okay, Vitas, what are your thoughts on the Bank of England? I mean, it just sounds like they're kicking the can down the road and they don't know what to do either. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, totally. It sounds a bit like back then when Mario Draghi, I think it was, said whatever it takes, we'll do whatever it takes to save the currency. It's kind of like what it sounds, what the Bank of England does. At the end of the day, it's kicking the can down the road, as you say.
Yeah, it really is unfortunate. But we can see that these people, they don't really have a big bag of tricks. Okay, like I remember back in the 80s, they would talk about them. You know, you would see all these economists, and you know, the government would tell you, we've got these tools, we've got these financial tools. In the end, all these financial tools were is printing money. And it just didn't seem apparent to me growing up or being as when I was a teenager. But it's clear as day now. Anyways, we are going to move right on over to the Shitcoin Corner. The Shitcoin Corner is brought to you by RepresentLTD.com. They outfit the Pleb Underground. I've got the hoodie on right now, and I've also got one of the brand new t-shirts. Very nice threads, excellent quality. Don't forget to check them out, RepresentLTD.com. As I was just telling Walton and our guest Vitas, it's about to get very dirty here in the Shitcoin Corner. So let's dive right into it. This is a little bit more of the World Economic Forum, you'll have nothing and you'll be happy, that supposedly they never said, but for some reason everybody captured, and then they just pretended that they never said it, and that they never said build back better, and that they never said any of the things that they said. Haha, we were joking. We never said any of those things. Klaus Schwab isn't real. Okay. Why do I say this? I do agree here with @DavidSlavik. Incredibly depressing. Here we go. This is a tweet from @Yo. They said you can't buy a nice house for under $300K in Miami. but I just locked up a 4,000 square foot six bedroom home for only $290,000.
Phil, this is a joke, right? This isn't real. I can't
I'm
believe
be a
this.
Homeowner
this is,
in the
this
metaverse.
Is not real. This cannot be real. I mean, obviously
course,
it's fake because it's the metaverse.
Sci-pagged us, as always. But yes, Walton, unfortunately, man, this seems, unless somebody can tell us different, this seems legit. And when I say legit,
I mean,
I'm
none
saying
of it's legit,
that a,
right?
That a person possibly wasted almost $300,000 on a house that doesn't exist in a place that doesn't exist. Okay, so don't get me wrong, but no one should be cheering this, okay? No one should be cheering this. No one should be applauding this behavior. This is ridiculous crap, okay? No one should be spending $300,000. I really hope that it's a troll, and if it is a troll, it is a fantastic troll, okay? It
yeah,
is
I really
a fantastic
hope so.
Troll, and it just goes to show... It just goes to show how easily a fool and their money are separated. Anyways, Walton, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically just an NFT, right? This is, it looks better than a lot of NFTs, but I still don't understand how do people end up being smart enough to make hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to then put it into this kind of shit? Like, what the fuck is happening, Phil? This is just, it's just degenerate behavior. And what a weird thing to flex about. Like, grow the fuck up. Like, stop watching Marvel films, get in the gym, stop being a child, grow up.
It is a weird flex. It totally is a weird flex. Vetus, what are your thoughts on this?
Metaverse real estate is definitely a shitcoin. I would even say normal real estate is most of it is a shitcoin, but definitely
what
metaverse.
Do we say around here, Phil? What do we say around here?
Fuck shitcoins. But hold on, Vetus. I have to ask. I wonder why didn't you guys choose to just make an NFT of the Bitcoin logo on the map and just instead of actually biking?
Actually, we've been told to do that, but we believe in proof of work, you know.
And there it is, and there it is. We believe in proof of work. Oh gosh. Okay, no, I appreciate that. Great response. Great response from our guest, who I'm sure we're creeping out right now. But that's okay. That's okay. All right, we're gonna move on to the Walton. Unless you have something else about that amazing investment opportunity.
I was actually thinking you could. So I'm kind of a math guy. So like, I was actually thinking you could actually work out your work done for the journey. So like, you can do it's the force times the distance traveled in the direction of that force. Is the work done, the useful transfer of energy? You could actually calculate your work done for your journey.
I like that. And let's face it,
roughly, roughly you could calculate.
Yeah, I mean, sure, you could. Try and measure power, and then start doing like, I don't know, you can calculate, or if you know your velocity and you know your power or your force, you can do further calculations and be more accurate.
Very good point. Definitely above my head, and beyond the scope of what I'm willing to do, but I think you bring up a good point, and it actually is true. Whereas with NFTs, you can't calculate any of that shit because there was no work done. So, like, I don't know how anybody justifies $300,000 for a virtual house. There was what, virtual work? I don't get it. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing in nowhere. Anyways, all right. Moving on. I digress from the NFTs. We are gonna wrap
Phil,
up.
Have you ever watched Black Mirror?
Sorry?
Have you ever watched Black Mirror?
Absolutely, I have.
So one of the Black Mirror episodes is about a kind of metaverse that people go living in that's immersive, and it kind of really gets sold. But yeah, the this was only a couple of years ago, and basically everything from Black Mirror is kind of slowly becoming true. But for people to spend hundreds of thousands in a meta, like, can they even kind of go and walk around this house? Like, what like, is there much interactivity? Like, but even still, like, what are you gonna go do? Like, go sit in the, go lock yourself in the bathroom, like, with your mobile phone and some crack cocaine, and like, have a Hunter Biden party? Or like, what are you gonna do, like, in the metaverse? It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. You can take pictures of your metaverse house and show it to people when you go to house parties or something, or when you get together with
friends?
You
pictures of your virtual dick and then like send it to like virtual girls or some bullshit. Like, fuck.
Now I have to bleep that out.
Yeah, my bad. Okay, so fucking like idiots. Like,
you can't say that, Walter.
What? I forgot what I'm not allowed to say. Oh, the R word.
This isn't Spaces. This is YouTube. Anyway, it's okay. All right. Moving on. You know what? We might leave it just for fun and let YouTube get mad.
But I did say fucking idiots just after, so you might be able to like.
You know what? Maybe I'll just leave it. We'll see what happens. Okay. So here we go. Wrapping this up, we've got a tweet from Chris Mattern. And as we can see, Chris is one of those special people that paid for their avatar. It's an NFT. Very nice. All right, here we go. Not your keys, not your crypto. That's already a wonderful start. Is short-sighted, small-minded, and impractical. If we don't create solutions that welcome everyone to crypto, then it won't be anyone's crypto. Oh, he just says it so much. It's terrible. Because it'll fall irrelevantly into the annals of history. Okay. This is like this ridiculous shitcoiner narrative that you often get, okay? That you have to encourage custodial services. You have to encourage, and I understand the ease of use. Okay, I completely understand this.
You're a spook if you encourage.
Sorry,
you're a spook if you encourage custodial services.
Exactly. You know, like you're a spook if you could. Let's rephrase that, right? If you don't understand what the trade-offs are, that's part of the problem. Okay. The other piece to this is that absolutely user experience is critical, but make no mistake. Okay. You do not need to sacrifice where you custody, how you custody your Bitcoin for a quote unquote more desirable user experience. As more people come to Bitcoin, as more development happens on Bitcoin, these user experiences will come. They will be developed because people will want them. And there's going to be that marrying of the personal responsibility ethos with it, because that's part of it. Okay, this whole thing, like at the end of the day, right, this isn't about freaking unicorns and all this bullshit that these shitcoiners try to sell you. This is about hard money, and this is about being able to store your value. So there is going to be the rubber meets the road point, and there is a certain level of complexity, the same way that there's a certain level of complexity for using the internet, yet everybody can do it now. So that is going to come to Bitcoin. And no, you don't need this ridiculous custodial crap, okay, and this nonsense that not your keys, not your coin somehow impedes on the growth of Bitcoin and its ecosystem. Anyway,
so much of the crumbling of society that's driven by fiat is around individuals opting for convenience over you know, essentially better choices, essentially high time preference behavior to only opt for convenient options. You really need to think more long term. You can't have sovereignty without individual responsibility.
No, you're absolutely right. Vitas, what are your thoughts on this before we wrap up the shitcoin corner?
Well, I believe we live in a time of kind of like a responsibility crisis, you know. People are not responsible for their lives, for their wealth, for their health. They want the state to step in every corner of their lives and save them from themselves and their own decisions. And I believe that has to change. And it starts with protecting your own Bitcoin or your own wealth with your own keys.
Vitas, I think you're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head. There's too many people. They're looking for, you know, big daddy, big mommy government, big parent figure government to come and save us. And this is what, you know what, this all goes back to authority, right? This all goes back to the myth of authority, and how we can't imagine a future or a present without an authority figure to tell us what to do. And we've justified it all in our minds that anything this authority figure does is for our, you know, our good. But as we've seen, that's not really the case.
Many people have replaced a god with a government that they can essentially treat as a god, when actually the government is more like a captor that they have Stockholm syndrome for. The government causes most of, if not all of, the problems that they seek the government to help them with.
Very well said. Very well said. We are wrapping up the shitcoin corner and we are moving over to the hopium.
Here's an ode. Another fiat currency croaks. Please run your own node by cool case from Crypto Cloaks. Now, these guys, Crypto Cloaks, sponsor the next section, Hopium. You can see some cool little items that Phil is kindly modeling for us here. Keeps his entropy dice in the honey badger. He also showed us the helmet sponsoring Hodlonauts. Fight against evil. You can also support the cause by one of those Hodlonaut helmets or the cold power. And if you use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND, you can get 5% off your purchases. Once again, that's CryptoCloaks.com. Phil, I've got a little bit of hopium for you.
Now, yes.
One narrative that I've been, I think, pushing for a couple of months now is that institutional adoption of Bitcoin is not about more and more companies putting it on their balance sheets. It's about more and more companies getting into offering services and products in and around Bitcoin. And we see more and more investment in exactly this space. Big story this week, Strike closing an $80 million funding round for its Bitcoin payments revolution, funding led by 1031, a Bitcoin, a VC firm, Washington University and the University of Wyoming, and it's going to enable Strike to expand their products and acquire new business partners. And also on this story, a tweet from a friend of mine, Aaron Wise, highlighting that MicroStrategy is hiring a Bitcoin Lightning engineer. We see companies that were in the fiat sphere moving more and more and more into the Bitcoin sphere, investing more into services and products that I believe will drive further adoption, whatever that means. But to me, it means more and more people using Bitcoin. I think there is this interdependence between companies using Bitcoin, which spreads awareness to their other clients, and then you have plebs orange pilling businesses, and you have these two factors driving the adoption. Is it going to be the thing that makes Bitcoin moon tomorrow? No. But is it going to have a positive effect? I think probably. I think, Strike isn't all Bitcoin, right? They have some kind of fiat aspects to them. But I think they seem to be doing good things. Jack Mallers is certainly a great advocate for Bitcoin.
Hey, Vitas, do you guys have Strike out there?
I don't use Strike. I believe it's not.
I don't think so.
I don't think it is.
It's not in the UK. It's not in Europe. It's a legal thing. So again, it's because they touch the fiat world, they have to jump through all these regulatory hurdles, or moats around established financial fiat business.
Right.
Okay.
Strike has a lot of friends in Bitcoin Beach, though. I met a lot of people there who love Jack and Strike.
Oh, that's, yeah. I could imagine. Actually, you know what? Okay, so a couple of things on this. We were talking about custodial services before and stuff like that. I know that we cheer Strike. And, you know, it's a huge move, you know, the amount of money that they closed on their series funding. I did see some commentary on Twitter that, and I don't know if it was actual, I don't know if it was actual tweets or if it was some commentary on CoinDesk, you know, explaining how, like, you know, they're going to compete with Visa. So look, I hate to burst everyone's bubble. But the reality is that, and this is something I've explained before, Visa owns 20% of Square, right? So they are already entrenched in Bitcoin payments. So I wouldn't really care so much that Strike, you know, takes a bite out of Visa's pie. But what I'm more interested in is their inroads. Because you see, they're not using the traditional network. They're essentially building their own, so to speak. And it's being built up of Lightning nodes with Lightning channels. Now, granted, we can all have the discussion and the argument that some of these nodes are huge and it introduces centralization. Yes, we all understand this, okay? Like, the other beauty of it is that you can't stop anybody from going and deciding to add as much liquidity as they want to the Lightning network. Anyways, but besides that point, I like to see it from the angle of it's building out kind of its own ecosystem. So I think that players like Visa, MasterCard, all of these, they are just simply going to join our playground. And that to me is either way, I see it as a win. I definitely see it as a win, and it's huge for, you know, it's obviously huge for Strike. Vitas, any other thoughts on this? I know that you said that you guys don't really have Strike out there.
Yeah, I can agree with you. I believe in general the non Bitcoin world has to grow together in a way. In some way, there need to be inroads. It has to grow together with the Bitcoin world. And Strike is a useful service. And I mean, Czech is totally a great advocate for the cause. And so I believe more and more companies like that will somehow intermingle with the fiat world. And also, certainly, most of them, in a way, will get eaten up and just bought by the fiat world eventually. But that, in the long term, doesn't really hurt Bitcoin. I believe it's just companies, you know, just becoming companies, becoming bigger.
Natural competition, you know, like this is the nature of the beast. Absolutely right.
One day, and Rick actually confirmed with this with me a few months back, is when CryptoCloaks grows to such a size that you know, they're really dominating, they're going to buy the onlyfans.com domain just to sell the fans for miners, and you know, their weird trouser things that they sell. So yeah, go Rick.
CryptoCloaks.com. That's right. Use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND for 5% off. All right, Walton, you got anything else on the Hopium?
No, I think that's good. Like, I think, good, huh? You know, this is what we want. Like, did you buy some more Bitcoin this week? I bought some more Bitcoin this week. Oh, except I didn't. I lost it all in a boating accident. My dog ate the paper keys, or whatever you meant to say these days. But
mine,
yeah, no, Hopium.
In the hurricane.
Yeah,
it's gone. The wind took it away.
No.
My keys, they're just gone. Yeah.
Like, hurricane proof. Hurricane. Yeah, in fact, what do you... Do steel plates get blown away in a hurricane?
Oh yeah.
We need some hurricane testing, guys.
All of it disappears, Walton. All of it disappears. Hurricanes, so boating accidents.
Yeah. So if you, Phil, maybe this is something we need to talk about another time. But how do you secure your Bitcoin if you live in an area that has hurricanes? It's an interesting concept.
I mean, I just explained how mine just flew away, so obviously I am not the best person to ask this question. Clearly, I wasn't taking care of them correctly, and now I have to pay the ultimate price. It's all gone. But look, as soon as I start again, and I figure out a way, I am definitely going to let everyone know. Okay, we are going to move on from the Hopium, and we are going to dive right into our interview discussion with our special guest, Vitas Zeller. Okay, now... Let's give everybody some context here. Okay, so we've got this is the Team Satoshi main page. Okay, and what's listed over here is Team Satoshi is a sports team. We create awareness for Bitcoin and bring forward the decentralization of money and power. We believe in a world of global, open, neutral, censorship resistant, and decentralized sound money for the people. That all sounds awesome. Obviously, I don't want to read the whole thing because we have Vitas here, so we rather just hear it from Vitas. So tell us about... Oh, what's up? Walton's got the finger up.
We will not let fiat defeat us. Buy Bitcoin. We're here to talk about Team Satoshi with Vitas.
Look at that. Right on the spot, man, he came up with that rhyme. It's awesome. I love it. Okay, so Vitas... Tell us about Team Satoshi. Who's part of it? Why did it start? How did you start it? All that good stuff.
Well, first of all, maybe, the idea is just basically to bring more awareness for Bitcoin through the platform of sports. Because sports is has traditionally, since hundreds of years, actually been a powerful messaging tool for rulers since the Olympic Games and even before that. I believe people look up to athletes, to sportsmen and sportswomen. I believe sports can be a really good platform to communicate ideas about, the world, how it's changing, and also technology. That's the idea about Team Satoshi. Who's part of it? I mean, in my own definition, anyone who believes in being fit, healthy, and strong, and who is a Bitcoiner is part of Team Satoshi. This is basically the definition of who's part of it. There's many people by now who associate with Team Satoshi. We have some clothes we're selling at price, actually, so without making any money on it. That's actually the way I started it, was with Twitter Satoshi. It was the line up here. It was from Florence to Frankfurt. It was a winter bike tour, started on January 3rd, 2019. I started in front of Banco Medici Riccardi, the first bank 600 years ago, and I ended up at the ECB in Frankfurt. I did it in 10 days, and I tried to pay every night with Bitcoin. So this was basically the beginning, the first event of Team Satoshi. I succeeded out of 9 nights. I succeeded 7 nights. 2 nights I couldn't make it happen. But 7 nights I could convince hotel owners to take my Bitcoin and return for a room. And then the second event was actually this one, this line here, which was from Zug in Switzerland to Munich, an ultra Ironman distance over 4 days, including crossing the biggest lake in Germany, which was a 12-kilometer swim. Now we just finished the Bitcoin B. So on September 21st, we finished this one. So it started in Genoa. It was 9 participants. And we finished up in Strasbourg in front of the European Parliament, but not the one in Brussels. We finished at the redundant one in Strasbourg.
They used to move between the two, actually. Months. It's ridiculous, completely ridiculous.
I really like
that you're kind of trying to push into the sports world, because one thing I see is that sports fans, many are degenerate gamblers, betting on all sorts of things. And so you see the major, gambling websites sponsoring European football, European soccer. And you also now see, these shitcoiners like FTX and Crypto.com buying stadium rights or sponsoring major sports players all over the world. That these shitcoiners are competing for the attention of supposed grown men. But we need to, we need to direct their eyes to the real thing, and that of course is Bitcoin. So thank you for your work. How in total, How many days have you spent cycling the B? And will you be doing another vertical line? Unless I'm mistaken, I think the Bitcoin B we have a second line. So sorry to add to your journey.
So Walton, are you down to join for the vertical line?
Definitely not a cyclist, sir. But I can lift a couple of weights. So I don't really see how that's gonna add anything to your map, sir.
Good question. I'm not sure about the second line yet. The total number of days, so Tour Satoshi was 10, then the Satoshi Freeathlon was 4 days, and now the Road to Bitcoin, which just finished now, was 14 stages. However, I was only part of 5 stages, so there were a few other plebs joining for that one. Also for the second one, we were 7 guys, including Anita Posh, you might know, or Jeremias Kangas, who founded localbitcoins.com. So we had some plebs for that one as well.
Yeah, Anita's somewhat of a Bitcoin missionary, right? She's spreading the word of Bitcoin across the continent of right. Africa, right. Who've been subject to a lot of monetary colonialism, and many still are, especially the former France colony.
Yeah,
I'm still hung up on the 2 nights that you couldn't convince people to take Bitcoin as payment, and I'm just curious, where did you sleep?
I paid with fiat shitcoin. So
I was gonna say, how much of a trooper are you? Where you were like, nah, fuck it, I'm not using fiat. I'm gonna sleep on the bench.
Well, actually, I might have, but it was winter time, and I only had clothes. I didn't have a tent with me. It would have been too much baggage. But actually, funny story. In the first one of those 2, it was actually after roughly 160 kilometers. I was like riding already 3 hours in the dark because it was such a long stage. And in winter time, the lights, the days are not so long.
Oh yeah.
My batteries were out for two hours already, so of the lights, so I didn't have any lights. So I got to that village. It's a small town, didn't have too many hotels, but I went through all the hotels, and then actually I couldn't make it happen. And then I went back to the hotel where I thought, okay, I want to stay there. And then I met the receptionist on the street. She was already going home. And I begged her to let me sleep at the hotel because I was afraid this is my last opportunity to find.
I was thinking you were gonna say you persuaded her to let her, you go home with her or something.
Yeah. Like, oh my god, this guy is the king.
call that checking into the hotel back yourself.
I mean, she was actually nice. She actually called the hotel owner previously and asked him, can we take Bitcoin? He wants to pay with Bitcoin. He's on his mission. So yeah, it was fun. I met her on the street, and then she called property manager who let me into the house, gave me a key, and then I paid next day. That was fun.
And so, cool. As far as I'm aware, certainly here in the UK, that we have capital gains associated with selling Bitcoin at a profit. How have you kind of dealt with this? If assuming you live in a jurisdiction where you have capital gains, do you spend and replace Bitcoin? Is it more about making sure that you have a greater proportion of transactions taking place on Bitcoin rails, even if you're not spending net Bitcoin, so to speak?
Well, actually, I don't spend too much of my Bitcoin. But for that tour, I got I asked for donations from the Bitcoin realm, and I actually just made it with my 7 nights. So I got enough donations for those 7 nights. So I just paid through the donations. I didn't.
Very cool. So the plebs funding
helped me,
spreading the word.
Very nice.
Of Bitcoin.
Yeah, it was quite nice. It was awesome.
Are there any specific plebs or supporters you'd like to just talk about? Anyone who's really kind of been a key cheerleader for Team Satoshi?
Actually, many. The main cheerleader that comes to my mind from the beginning is Chako Motsuko. He always retweets everything about Team Satoshi every event. Yeah. He loves it. Also, I mean, many actually. Richard Taylor, Anita Posh. Actually, Gigi is a big fan. He joined the Run for Halfin. We have a yearly Run for Halfini in memory of Halfin on September 6th. So Gigi is always joining. Actually, many people. I can't really mention all of them, but it's received very nicely, the idea, and I love it. It's a grassroots movement, and I believe it's growing, and yeah, I love it.
Beautiful. I gotta ask, what's the deal with the truck on the map?
That's actually Satoshi the van, it's called.
Satoshi. So van.
you find it belongs to Philip. Philip is a pleb, a young Bitcoin pleb. So he joined us for the road to Bitcoin. So he took our bags and he helped with nutrition, with support. So all the way from the road to Bitcoin, he went with his van and joined us. It's actually an awesome van. It has lots of Bitcoin art on it, and you find it at Satoshi the van on Twitter.
Okay, if you could send me that very later, cool. I'd appreciate it. And also,
sure.
Do you have a Twitter community?
Kind of. So I just recently opened a Team Satoshi Twitter account. It's Team Satoshi O.
Twitter, you can create these things called communities that are kind of groups that you can, you know, bring people into, and maybe then you could have a Team Satoshi community or something like that. It's a bit like a group chat, but you can have kind of tweets and posts and things rather than just all in a chat. And maybe you could kind of create a bit of a, because my understanding is you're essentially a Bitcoin fitness and awareness, sorry, a Bitcoin awareness and fitness community,
right?
Or
right.
Spreading Bitcoin through athletics. Yeah, right. I think it could be a really good, nice little tool, maybe to.
Sounds to help, like a
spread the word.
Cool idea.
What's the next adventure? You guys have anything in the works?
Yeah, actually, running Bitcoin. So we're actually working together with Fran Finney, and. We're working on an event called Running Bitcoin, named after Hal's
famous tweet.
It goes from January 1st to January 10th. And basically, we're just asking everyone joining to walk or run a half marathon, which was Hal's different favorite distance. And donate some sats to the ALS Foundation, ALS Chapter West, because Hal passed away due to ALS.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we're asking for donations to that and to join for a half marathon, walk or run during those 10 days.
I love it. Really appreciate that.
Nice. You got the tweet printed out. Very nice.
He's got it. We can't see because of the background. Don't worry, we're working on Walton's background.
I think
background.
Maybe there.
Yeah, no,
I got it from it's not loading very well, but from Crypto Graffiti.
Yeah, actually,
he has these stickers of that exact tweet. So
yeah actually, Crypto Graffiti is he's part of the organization, so he's helping organize the whole event.
That is absolutely awesome.
Very cool.
All right, do we have anything else?
But just, you know, anyone who's interested can just visit teamsatoshi.org.
Quick question, where do you stand on the whole pan debate? As a keen athlete, I'm sure you eat a good bit of meat. Do you prefer cast iron pans or stainless steel?
I prefer cast iron pans, yeah.
He knows.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good that you asked the pan question. I was debating and I was like, I don't know. He doesn't spend a lot of time on Twitter, so he might just, you know, he already thinks we're crazy. He's just going to think we're totally nuts. But no, that's all good. All right, guys, this wraps up this week's Pleb Underground YouTube show. Don't forget to check us out, plebunderground.com. That's right. We put out daily articles like the meme compilations. We've got Pirates Bear Market Diaries. Don't forget to check us out on our audio-only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. If you want to stream us sats, we are on Fountain.fm. You could stream us sats through Breeze. Yeah.